Okay. Welcome, fellow travelers. Thanks for joining us today for our workshop on the Tradition 3, A Guide to the 12 Traditions, this workshop series. Tradition 3, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. This workshop is being recorded and the audio will be available at a later date, usually within a couple weeks. We're gonna follow up with the ACA Serenity Prayer. So let's just take a moment of silence and a nice deep breath. And let's begin. Higher power, grant me the serenity
to accept the people I cannot change. The courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me.
And Cheryl is going to give us the agenda.
Hey, welcome everybody. Today we're going to be going through the workshop mission and introduce ourselves, and we'll continue with our suggested commitment to service and go over the workshop guidelines next. And then we'll introduce Tradition 3 and do our perform our skit. And then we'll take any questions before sending you into the breakout rooms. And then we'll come back and do a debrief and share our takeaways from our breakout rooms. If we don't have enough participants, I guess we'll do an open discussion in the main room. And then we'll close with our Tradition 3 meditation.
Thank you, Cheryl. And the mission for our tradition workshops is to provide education and experience through a series of 12 workshops on how the traditions work to keep our meetings safe and recovery oriented by the practicing of spiritual principles. And from there, I'd like to take a moment to remind everyone to rename themselves with your first name and where you're from, location. This is found in the participants window, typically at the bottom of the screen. So we'll just give everybody a moment to do that, and then we'll introduce our presenters and tech hosts. Let me know. Let's see if it looks like everybody's got that. Okay, anybody need any help with that? Ready to move on. Okay, so I'd like to introduce the presenters, tech hosts, and tell you a little bit about our pilot group as well. So the presenters are myself, Mary Jo L. from Illinois. I'm from outside Philadelphia, and Cheryl F. from Toronto. And then we also have our tech host, Dee Dee, who came along and brought us a lot more tech hosts. So we feel very well supplied for all 12 of our traditions now. Can I ask each of you to introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from?
I'm Dana Ray, and I'm from Washington State. Thank you.
Thanks, Dana Ray.
I'm Samantha, and I'm from the Denver, Colorado area.
Thank you, Samantha.
I'm Trisha. I'm in Massachusetts. I put it up. So.
I'm Dee Dee, and I'm zooming in from Texas.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see, we also have just how a little background about how this tradition workshop exists. As the three of us, Mary Jo, Cheryl, and I put them together, we then present it to a pilot group, and the pilot group goes through it and tweaks it with us so that we have it ready for you. I don't know if we have anybody from our pilot group with us here today.
We got Martin.
We have Martin. Okay. So Martin, do you want to say hello for a second, introduce yourself and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Martin, calling from Essex in England. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Okay. Let's see. Are the pilot group members had various levels of understanding of the tradition? So we had someone who was, you know, completely new to them, had some familiarity, and then good amount of familiarity. So I will pass. Let's see. We're at the next slide. The suggested commitment to service. Cheryl, Mary Jo, and I are going to read this for you. This is on page 601 in the Big Red Book. I perform service so that my program will be available for myself and that through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meeting and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. And 2, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience, so that any decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority. Pass.
3, placing principles before personalities. 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program. 5, striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world services. 6, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. 7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly.
8, being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity and to provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. And 9, remembering I am a trusted servant. I do not govern.
Thank you. And just one other thing we want to mention, if you would like to get your Big Red Books or have a copy of the laundry list available for the workshop, you may find that helpful when we get to our questions. I pass.
Thank you, Erin, for that reminder. I didn't make it on the sheet, so I'll remember for next time. Thank you. So I'm going to go over our workshop guidelines for today. We share in a general way. For our purposes today, we kindly ask everyone to focus on the topic being presented so that we may cover all the material. Please remember the following: principles over personalities, curiosity over criticism, progress, not perfection, service coming from love, and halt, humility, acceptance, love, and tolerance. Tradition 3, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Our spiritual principle is inclusion.
Inclusion. Our single requirement for ACA membership gave rise to ACA's spirit of inclusion. Our membership includes adult children from homes without alcoholism being a factor. Soon after ACA was founded, adult children from homes with other forms of dysfunction began showing up and identifying with the ACA message. The laundry list traits described their behavior and thinking in the same manner as adult children from alcoholic or addicted homes. These adult children attended ACA meetings and embraced recovery. They claimed the inner child and loving parent, just like the ACA member from an alcoholic home. We see no difference in these members. Their voice is the voice of ACA. Our Big Red Book, page 505.
A Okay, the next thing we're going to do is move into a skit, and this skit is meant to be dysfunctional. The focus is about what constitutes a desire to recover, and once again, the tradition, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Okay, and so we have a skit. There are four of us who will read this, and we can begin.
Okay. I'm Drew, and we're at the point in our meeting for any new business.
I'm Chris. Can we talk about how when Jesse shares, it's consistent angry outbursts and victim behavior about how life is so unfair? Does Jesse really belong in this group if there's no focus on actual recovery?
I know Jesse has been around forever, but there's always the blaming, judgment, and being the victim. I'm so tired of it. It makes me want to leave every time Jesse starts sharing.
I know it can be annoying, but I've actually seen a small amount of positive change through the years. I'm not sure how we deal with this, but isn't this gossip?
Well, I disagree. This is hurting the group. Jesse shows no movement and no use of program tools or identifying feelings other than anger. It seems like we're losing newcomers because of this. I don't think Jesse belongs here.
My recovery tells me there has to be a solution here. Okay. All right, so that was short and sweet. What we are going to do next is have you discuss some questions about this tradition, and I'll read through them quickly. Number one, we started by saying this was a dysfunctional business meeting. What stood out to you as dysfunctional? Is the group jumping to conclusions or making judgments? Two, if the group is having trouble with the spiritual principle of inclusion, what laundry list traits or character defects may be activated in members? Three, there's a difference between the group having simple guidelines and exerting too much control over meeting members. What are some examples? Four, describe different ways that groups could implement these examples from question three above. And five, if I think someone else's progress isn't good enough, what recovery tools, slogans, and other resources could I or the group use to honor tradition three? Okay. All right, so, pass, Cheryl.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Okay, so we have 17, 14 people here. Okay, so that's minus our tech hosts. Okay, so it's a 20-minute breakout room discussion session. You'll need a note taker and a reporter for our main room sharing after the breakout room session. This can be two people or the same person. You'll want a timekeeper to ensure everyone shares equally on the questions and has an opportunity to speak if they wish. Proceed with an open discussion and refer to the questions to consider. So we have posted the questions in the chat, and you'll have the questions with you to refer to. Please divide your total sharing time accordingly so that each participant may share at least once if they wish. If there are any questions, there is an Ask for Help icon located on the bottom of your screen in the breakout room. One of us, Mary Jo, Erin, or myself, will come in and help you guys out. You'll receive a 3-minute end of breakout session notification. It'll be broadcasted, usually pop up on the top of your screen in the breakout room. And we would like for all our participants to gain 3 takeaways around Tradition 3 today.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We've been in our breakout rooms and discussing the questions that were on the list. And could we go back to those questions on the PowerPoint slides? Okay. What I'll do is I'll ask each of the groups if they have anything to share on each of the questions, and we'll go from there. So on question number one, and how many breakout rooms did we have? We had 3 breakout rooms, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the rooms weren't necessarily numbered, but who's going to be the spokesperson for each room?
Gretchen is for number 2.
Okay. All right. And let's see, Kathy is going to be for number 1, although we'll help if I think she'll do fine. And then the third group?
I took some notes in our group, so I will try to, summarize.
Thank you, Marcia. Okay, so for question number 1, we started by saying this was a dysfunctional business meeting. What stood out to you as dysfunctional? Is the group jumping to conclusions or making judgments? Okay, so Gretchen?
Our group, hi, I'm Gretchen. I'm an adult child from Florida. Mm-hmm. Our group felt that they were jumping to conclusions, that judgments were being made, and that the overall feeling was of exclusion and of the group. So
thank you.
I'm not sure how much you want me to say, but that was the overall.
Okay. No, that's good. Kathy, anything different? Kathy, you're on mute.
I'm so sorry. I'm not used to this. Yes, we pretty much agreed. Jumping to conclusions and making judgments when we can't judge each other's progress. So that was judgments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Martin?
Thank you, Martin. Back of an adult child. From these things that weren't mentioned, really, we mentioned that, there should be a discussion one-on-one as opposed to talking about someone who isn't present in the group. Things like pettiness came up and fear of authority figures, I suppose, when not trying, maybe some people not try to challenge others. Thanks.
Thank you. That leads us into question 2. If the group is having trouble with the spiritual principles of inclusion, what laundry list traits or character defects may be activated in members? So what, Gretchen, what did your group come up with there? Right.
Yeah. Well, we came up with number 3 that I, of course, didn't write the exact, but number 3, frightened by angry people and personal criticism. Number 6, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. And this enables us not to look too closely at our own faults. Number 8, we become addicted to excitement in the fact that this is now giving us the excitement of being involved where we really have no business being. And then it was discussed about the other laundry list. Do we become the bully? So those were, in essence, what we came up with.
Thank you, Gretchen. Kathy?
Hi, I'm Kathy. I forgot to say that, I'm still unmuted. I'm from Texas. Anyway, it's the exact same things. We added number 10 because with trauma and I can speak for myself. Somebody asked me how, when I'm thinking and feeling at any one time, I may not even know. So I'm still figuring out some of that stuff. And so I guess that was a me thing. Now I'm getting stuck. Stepped our feeling. Well, in judging, thinking that somebody is out of line in how they're sharing or how they're coming along, that just shows that it's just not allowing someone to learn at their pace. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's it.
Thank you. Okay. Martin?
Thank you. I will just list the ones that weren't mentioned. So in our group, trade four from order launch list, dominating orders and abandoning them before they can abandon us. Part stood out. Trade nine from order launch list, we hate people who play the victim and beg to be rescued. Trade three, I believe, was mentioned, afraid of anger. Also, order launch list, trade six, you know, self-centered, I believe. Irresponsible and self-centered, our inflated sense of self-worth and self-importance prevents us from seeing our deficiency and shortcomings. Trade 14, reactus rather than actus, and trade 13 from the other laundry list, we refuse to admit we've been affected by family dysfunction or that there was dysfunction in the home or that we have internalized any of the family's destructive attitudes and behaviors. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you. Excellent. Let's change it up a little bit here so Gretchen doesn't always have to go first. and Kathy, I hope it's okay if I call on you. Let's sort of put three and four together, which is there's a difference between the group having simple guidelines and exerting too much control, over meeting members, and what are some examples, and then four, which is how the group can implement these examples. However, the breakup group addressed these. So, Kathy?
An example of, well, when they're actually in the group, we discussed the fact that using timers is a good way to make sure that everybody has a chance to share. And because a lot of us didn't have that opportunity, we were just not allowed to speak, or we were talked over, or just not heard. And so timing will allow everybody to have a chance to speak.
Okay.
As far as someone not being angry, we did talk about the fact that anger is something that comes from, it could be from trauma. And as long as someone's expressing anger, it could be triggering for other members, but as long as it's not abusive, I think we agreed that it should be okay to express that. It should be safe to express it, but not ever be abusive. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay. Martin?
Thank you. Yeah, we struggled a bit with both of these questions. Really, we didn't kind of go into control, but we kind of said that we're using some script prompts, so have something in the script reminding people to kind of stay on topic of their own recovery. If, for example, there were just, I don't know, angry outbursts about politics and stuff like this. And also like having a rotation of service. So, you know, everyone gets to kind of, you know, for example, chair the meeting, or there is just like, you know, have, you know, guidelines as to how long someone chairs the meeting, business meetings for. And that though the tools got kind of maybe not tools, but what the group could do in question four to think about the situation was what was brought up was principles over personalities, go into literature to kind of for their own recovery, kind of, you know, look outside of kind of themselves to use, you know, what's available for recovery, and, you know, saying serenity prayer and reading steps and traditions. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Gretchen?
A lot of the same thoughts. Rotating the chair position was a big thought in some, having some differentiation in the actual meetings. Exerting control over who was going to be a member or not, in, you know, inclusion versus exclusion, and using other methods rather than strictly excluding someone from the meeting. And again, we didn't discuss the share or the example being cruel or vicious, just the fact that there, as I interpreted, or I don't know if everyone, the actual share that this person was giving or the contribution they were giving wasn't cruel, or it wasn't so it wasn't predatory in a sense. So instead of, you know, perhaps reaching out to the fellow traveler and one of the coming from love was a thought that instead of excluding them, to perhaps try to include them in a softer way, that we had a lot, but using the tools, which is number five anyway, was the main, those are the main things, the script itself, the control over the script. So thank you.
Thank you, Gretchen. Okay, then all good things, number five. Martin, you want to start this one?
Sure. We came up with the tools, the slogans, the other resources that we have to fall back on. The opposite of number six, using gentle help, listening to that person, extending a hand, reaching out. Now in Zoom, we would have a fellow traveler, mentor calling, some sort of communication. Then again, the things that were used in the beginning of this meeting, curiosity over criticism, progress, not perfection, coming from love, the principles over personalities. We brought out that hurt people hurt. If they're coming from this place, that they're trying to reach out for some sort of help themselves.
Thank you.
Martin? Thank you. Yeah, for the fifth one, we had like affirmations, like some of them that were mentioned, like let go, trying to release the control, trying to speak up as opposed to being silent if situation gets too much, always knowing that I can leave situation. Someone also mentioned the taking non-release to walk the laundromat from, I think, page 417, applies to business meetings, and someone could use that list to kind of, you know, look at how to navigate things, and also doing the 10-step inventory that some more solutions kind of based, well-based, aimed at personal recovery. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Martin. Okay, Kathy? Looks like, did we lose Kathy? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Mary Jo, can I, did we get everyone? Because I wanted to add something, if I could.
No, we missed the last group, and I think we lost Kathy, who was our spokesperson. I can fill in. Philip, would you be okay with talking about the journey, not destination thing that you talked about?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Philip, adult child. I was just saying that in terms of understanding where another person is, here we are, you know, we're all on our own journey. We all have our own challenges, our own ups and downs, good days, bad days. And I feel like I have a compass because I have a relationship with a higher power. I have no way of understanding anyone else's journey beyond what they tell me, which is very, you know, would tend to, you know, it's like I don't get like a complete understanding from what someone shares with me of their, you know, their whole recovery process, or their, you know, where they are in their journey. And in the our group, I just mentioned, so it's like I sort of know where I am at the moment, but I don't know what's coming up around the next bend in the road or, you know, the next, what's over the next hill. And so it's very difficult for me to, understand exactly what where my journey is taking me, much less where someone else has been or where it's like they might share something about where they are now, but I have no idea what their higher power has in store for them in order to be able to, give them advice or to be able to make any kind of judgment about them. So that's what I had to say about that. Thank you so much. And for your service with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to speak a little bit about how this tradition comes up in the addressing predatory behavior. There we had a couple of years back, if you don't already have this for your meetings as a resource, the addressing predatory tent card. So an example of address, when somebody is actually doing something predatory in a way that really is hurting someone, and the solutions that, came up with was actually, yes, talking to the person, naming the behavior, what was happening, how it was affecting the group, and asking the person about their willingness to change that behavior. And if the person was not willing to change the behavior, then yes, the person was asked to leave. If the person was willing to change the behavior or wanted to, would just basically say they wanted to keep coming back to the meetings, then, that was fine. Or it was given a, 3 months, but if the person continued to do the same thing, that they were spoken to again, given a second chance. And by the third chance, if the behavior continued, and we're talking about predatory behavior, so let's say somebody coming in just using their business to pressure people in the meeting. Okay. And, then there's also sexual predatory behavior or lots of different kinds, as we know, as adult children. But then, there is we do have that option when we've come from love and tried gentle ways that sometimes it is appropriate to ban a person from a meeting. And I pass.
Thank you. Yeah. There's definitely a difference between predatory behavior and maybe the kind of behavior we've talked about in this skit, which doesn't sound like predatory behavior at all. But thank you for bringing that in, because that is an important piece of it, because sometimes groups can even make excuses for somebody who's predatory. Well, they're hurting too, so they need a place to be. Well, not if they're taking advantage of other people and so on. So that's really important. Thank you. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add about either the skit itself or the discussion questions or something else that comes to mind? Any individual? Doesn't have to be a group representative or what? Gretchen?
Hi. My higher power always directs me to these things. Mm-hmm. I got this flyer this morning, and I have to leave actually because I have a live meeting I have to actually drive to by 2. But I just have to say that, I've been hosting and doing on and off business meetings, and this has been quite informative and educational. And I'm really grateful that I was here today to look at, obviously, I know these tools, or I've heard these tools, but I don't always use them. So I'm really grateful that now I can look at them again and use them again. And I'm not saying predatory behavior. I'm saying simply crosstalk in a business meeting where someone interjects something, and things that there are ways and tools for me to use. And now I I'm more aware of them. So thank you. I'm so happy I was here.
Thank you, Gretchen.
I also to mention, we do have the best practices part of our website. So when you're looking for safety statements or how different groups have handled similar situations, that there are resources there as well.
It's called something different now.
It is. Yeah.
Let's see. Meeting member shared resources, and I'll put the link in chat.
Thank you both very much.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah. And this is something that anybody can contribute to if you have ideas.
Okay. Yeah, Buddy, I know in our group, you had mentioned something that I thought would be good. I can't remember what it was, but you were talking about something in another fellowship when someone was asked to leave, but it was to leave the meeting. Can you repeat that for us here?
Yeah, a fellow was really being angry and threatening toward other members in that meeting. And he was asked either to calm himself down and respect others or leave the meeting. And we weren't telling him that we're throwing him out of the fellowship. We weren't throwing him out of the fellowship. We were simply asking him to leave that specific meeting because the facility itself also has requirements of behavior. And those of us in the meeting have a right to be respected. And so if he didn't leave the meeting, we would call the police and have him evicted from the facility. But we weren't throwing him out of the fellowship. He's certainly welcome to go to other meetings at other places and maybe find one more suitable where his behavior would be accepted, because it wasn't acceptable in our meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. It's like, you know, if we're at a meeting where we are tolerating something and it's infringing on our rights, you know, we do have that right. And that person may find something better as a result of that. You know, yeah.
Trisha, I just wanted to comment that in our group, we also mentioned that if people are developing resentments towards others in the group, is to do a fourth step on that person and then to do step 10. What Buddy had said, in our group, we also had a problem with someone who came to the meeting and was talking sexually explicitly. And it really triggered a lot of us. We had to stop. So we do have a 30-second warning and we stop the meeting when something happens like that. We do the serenity prayer and then we'll talk about that. But it did, you know, it happened a second time with the same person. So we had to have a group conscience and we decided, you know, that person needed to leave the group, you know, just our group, as Buddy said, and they can go to other meetings, but that it was better for our safety not to have this person in our meetings. Thank you.
And I love the fact that you brought up that we had a group conscience about it. Yeah.
I like the 30-second idea too. One of the things that was mentioned in our group, in terms of taking someone aside to talk about them, that may not always be comfortable. I mean, the Jessies of the world, my own caveat for that would be, I think it depends on how long the person has been around. If it's a fairly newcomer, I would never take them aside and say your sharing is not appropriate. They're going through, you know, discovering, I mean, as long as, again, they're not being abusive, they're going through this process of discovery about, you know, what they're all about and so on. And if they express anger and sound angry and so on, that's part of the process. So telling them to tone it down or whatever we might say on a one-on-one, we have to really be careful about how we do that. And is it really that we're doing something like that for our own? We need to do that ourselves because we're uncomfortable? Or is it really whatever we're doing, is it being done out of the sense of fellowship and wanting to help? But we have to examine our own motives. Okay. Dee Dee?
Hi, I'm Dee Dee, adult child, amongst other things. So there have been situations that I've been in where focusing on the problem is repeated over and over again. And personally, I need to work on myself because that really bothers me. I want to guide and myself and stay in the solution as much as I can. However, I have 11 months into this program and 1 year in another program. So, you know, I have to be very compassionate to the newcomer. And so sometimes what I do, and I have to get with my higher power and remember that put the group, the fellowship before my own personal, personality. Sometimes I jump on there and I share. And I share from a personal experience, strength, and hope perspective. Sharing that I have learned a lot, that I need to learn to keep my recovery in the eye. And then higher power takes it from there. Keeping it in the eye reminds me that I have control of myself only. And the more that the newcomer hears that, then they learn automatically. It's higher power. In the fellowship, I have this discussion with someone else, and they share, keep coming back. And the more someone comes back, the more they follow the routine and then start practicing their own recovery. Mm-hmm. But it is important. I've been to many meetings where it's just about the problem. And I step back and I get with my higher power right now. I get with my higher power and I say, okay, is this meeting for me? Is this meeting going to help me? And there are times when I have to just leave. But I have to learn that I have to accept others where they're at in their journey of recovery. I'm Dee Dee. Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you. We are running near the close of the meeting. I'm willing to stay afterwards if anybody would like to discuss any other issues. Maybe you have something else that you're dealing with. But for now, could we have the slide presentation put back up? Thank you. Okay. So we've listed a number of references here. Concept one, page 615, there's Robert's Rules of Order to help with business meetings. You can contact us at our email, traditions@acawso.org. There are workshop recordings of our first and second tradition workshops are there already at the adultchildren.org traditions workshops. You can find that under resources and the sub-tab under resources is, help me with this.
Other audio.
Yes, other workshops. Audio workshops. And so you can find them there. Workshop dates and Zoom information are found on the acawso.org calendar. The next workshop will be Tradition 4, and we will be doing that on April 23rd, right? The fourth Saturday of the month. So we hope you will join us then. Okay, next slide. If you're so inclined, seventh tradition contributions, every ACA support, every ACA group ought to be solely self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And for WSO, you can go to the homepage, and there's a contribute button on the menu item. And if you choose to support us there, World Service. And then we'll move to the next slide. Okay. And I believe and we lost
Trisha.
Trisha, thank you.
Oh, hi, Trisha Delchild. Closing tradition three meditation. Higher power, help me recognize my desire to recover from the effects of growing up in a dysfunctional home. Give me willingness to attend meetings to recover from these effects. I participate in ACA because I want to change and help others. Thank you for leading me to these rooms where I belong. Thank you for giving me the courage to walk into an ACA meeting and stay and find my place. I am finally home. I finally know where I fit. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We really appreciate having met you if we didn't meet you before, and hope that you will attend next time. We're doing one of these every month on the fourth Saturday of the month, same time. And we will do better at making sure that the Zoom information is posted earlier than right before the meeting. We're not perfect. Progress, not perfection.
And I hope that we'll pass on the information about the workshops to others, to your groups. There, you know, there is a flyer that we could email you, the flyer as well, if you'd like to email us, and you can bring that flyer to your groups. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, we'll end the meeting. And like I said, I'm willing, or maybe others might be, if you have anything that you'd like to share individually, or you have something else you want to talk about, we can do that for a short time. So thank you again.